would you say if I said that I could bring him back?
I guess I'd say I never thought of that.
Well, alright, hold tight, you might wanna stand back, because one small John is coming intact.
St. John forward, spitting out some more words, fully intact, jacked, ready to rap and attack. Small John on your lawn, living like a gnome, hit you with my lyrics like a bullet to your dome.
Tonight when he comes up here, he's either gonna kill or he's gonna suck. But there's no in between for Mr. John Forward.
Welcome to St. John Forward Radio. I'm the titular John Forward, a local comedian here in St. John, New Brunswick. Oh, you may be listening to this in many ways. We're broadcasting live over the airwaves on local 107.3 FM in St. John. Also streaming live on John Forward Comedy on YouTube if you want to see the video version. It's also on Facebook, but that's much more complicated. Go to YouTube for the better experience. Audio comes out on Wednesdays at johnforward.podbean.com. So that's what you're listening to. Who knows why? Feeling a little bit in a rut today. Don't know what kind of show this is going to be. I don't really have any topics that I'm super fired up about tonight. Usually, especially since I've been doing the show mostly solo lately, I've kind of come cocked and loaded with some big topics to talk about. I've got some mini topics today. So, who knows, maybe this will be a music-heavy episode, we'll see. I don't know what it is. I'm just coming off a long weekend. I had Friday off, had an extra personal day that I could use up before the end of the year, so might as well get it out. I had bought some pay-per-view viewings of the Skankfest Comedy Festival that were this weekend. I'll talk about that in a little bit, but coming in after a long weekend, after being off, it's just kind of rough getting back into getting back into the soul-crushing drudgery of the day job. It's not always bad, but you know, it's been rough. Everybody talks about, you know, all these government employees that are making starvation wages, barely getting by, everybody in QP. So anyway, whatever support you want, that's up to you to give them. I'm on the other side of the table where I'm a manager. I work for a nonprofit charity. I'm not going to get any more specific than that. You know, you go back into the archives, I've probably been doxed on the show, self-doxed maybe a couple of times, but, it's not pleasant. There was a lot of turnover for the positions that I was hiring for before COVID, but things have just gotten out of hand since then. Currently, I've got the same three people working for me that were working for me before COVID. Every other new person that comes in just can't keep them. It's a tough job that I'm hiring for. We are paying well above minimum wage. I don't know if it's a competitive rate compared to other positions in the field, but you know, it's really rough. The jobs that I'm hiring for, there can be some long days. It's paid by the hour. There's a lot of physical labor involved. It requires to fill out some basic paperwork, and there's kind of an electronic doohickey that needs to be run, but it's just been brutal. I hate conducting job interviews. It's rough, spending hours upon hours upon hours upon hours of people lying to my face about what kind of job they're looking for, what their qualifications are, all of that stuff. It's been super rough. So the biggest issue lately has been, there are negative aspects for the job that I'm hiring for. I don't want to trick anybody into it. Like nobody should be coming in off the street having no idea what the job is and then just, well, hey, you thought it was this, but it's this other thing. I try to be very, very clear about what the job entails, and just because it's such a drain on, and again, this is a nonprofit charity, so every dollar that we spend on like orientation and training hours and setting up kind of the pretest stuff that they need to do and a background check and all that stuff, it costs money. So it's just a gigantic waste of everyone's time to have to sit and like go through all the orientation stuff and the training for somebody that's not going to stick around. So I've just had in the past year just person upon person upon person upon person upon person just come in and leave almost immediately without even, sometimes without finishing training. So we might pour between like $500 and $1,000 before somebody's ready to go out and actually do a shift and accomplish something. And it's always like, oh, well, hey, I didn't know that there'd be these long days. And like I told you in the interview, and you said you were fine with that. Oh, I didn't know that it was going to be, you know, labor intensive. I told you that in the interview. You said you're okay with it. Oh, I didn't know this is what the schedule is going to be. Oh, I guess what? I told you in the interview, and you said you were okay with it. Anyway, it's rough. It's rough, and again, people quitting without notice is really super annoying for an operation that's running with very limited resources. Not a lot of backup plan available when somebody bails on the last minute. So, anyway, that sucks. But the reason I took Friday off was because Skankfest South, comedy festival run by, it's kind of an offshoot of, Gas Digital, which I listened to several podcasts on that network. The flagship program is Legion of Skanks with, Louis J. Gomez, Big J. Okerson, and Dave Smith. That's one of my favorite podcasts. I listen to it, twice a week now. It used to be weekly. And don't listen to I listen to some Bonfire, which Big J is also on. I don't listen to much of Louis J. Gomez's side podcasts. But anyway, Dave Smith, I'm all on board. He's my my libertarian internet go-to. They've been putting on this festival called Skankfest in New York for many years now. I think like 6 or 7 years or something. And I went down to New York to see it a few years ago, back in the summer of 2019, I believe. I went down with Arif Hussein, my co-host on Four Story Walk Up, which, by the way, we just recorded a new episode last Thursday, and I thought it was quite good, so you might want to check that out. Not appropriate for campus radio. You can find that. The links for it are... I just looked at the Podbean page for the podcast, and I had changed the template, kind of the format for it, and now the episode descriptions are kind of in a stupid way, so I'm going to have to figure out how to fix that and go back. Fourstorywalkup.podbean.com, or find Four Story Walkup on Facebook. There's a YouTube page. Four is not the number four. It's spelled out. Went down, and it was a really fun experience when I went down. It was my first time in New York City. Unfortunately, the festival kind of dominated the schedule, so I didn't have a whole lot of chance to do anything else in New York other than the shows. We had some flight issues on the way home and ended up staying an extra day, so Arif and I did get to go for a walk around in wherever, Manhattan, is that where we were? I don't know. Wherever Times Square is, that general area, see all the stuff. We went through, went to Central Park for a little while. That was fun. But when we were there, it was mostly all comedy all the time. And, it's a mixture of stand-up shows and live podcasts. But when I went to it, I think it was, well, the whole thing ran, I think, pretty much from, like, noon till midnight, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, all in one venue. They had three different stages, I believe, so there was just, three shows happening at any given time for the most part, which was fun, lots of options, a ton of great comedians. It's very exhausting. That's a lot of comedy to take in a weekend, so... Anyway, you can go back into the johnforward.podbean.com archives from the summer of 2019, and you can hear some of the, I think I did some episodes with Arif. We did some stuff while we were there. We did some stuff in the airport. Anyway, you can check that out. I'm not going to rehash the whole thing, but... When I went to that in the summer of 2019, they had announced Skankfest South, which was going to be, they were going to pick up the operation and do it down in Texas. I think that was supposed to happen in early 2020, which obviously was canceled and postponed and rescheduled. And then, after that first Skankfest weekend, I was just exhausted. I'm like, I had a great time, but I don't know if I ever want to go back to this thing. But, given after COVID and not being able to leave the house and do really much of anything over the first little bit, we're still not quite back to normal. But I'm just excited to be getting out of the house to do anything. And I kind of... Texas is being cool about COVID stuff and opening up. And anyway, everybody was freaking out, and it seems to be going okay, as far as I can tell. I thought about heading down to Skankfest, which would have been this past weekend. I thought about it, but I wasn't sure exactly what the border crossing rules were, so I didn't want to plan too far ahead. I already got burned on the concert tickets in October. That was to drive across to Maine. I think it's been a while since you could fly into the U.S., which, I mean, is that not just benefiting the rich type situation that people should be upset about? I don't know. But, I kind of wanted to go to Skankfest South because I'd never been to Texas. It was very exhausting when I went to the New York Skankfest. But, I've got my not going to things quota down for the rest of my life. So I feel really guilty. If I have an opportunity to do something, then I want to do it. I thought about it, but it sold out very quickly, probably because, people that bought tickets to the original one that carried over, and then anybody that bought tickets for the rescheduled one. So I think there was probably very limited tickets left by the time it went out. And I'm still a little bit not sure what the protocol is for travel. I think you probably need to get a test to come back into Canada, and I have no idea how to set that up. But anyway, I'm thinking of making a trip down to Texas in March. I see a band I enjoy, Ministry, is playing, is going on tour, and they're playing... down in Texas in March with the Melvins and Corrosion of Conformity opening, so that should be a good show. I was thinking of, I don't think they're playing in Austin, so I was thinking of, maybe flying down to see a show in, like, Dallas or Houston, and then making my way to Austin, because there's all kinds of comedy stuff going on, in Austin these days, since, St. Rogan moved down there and dragged a bunch of people with them. So, I don't know. Thought that might be fun to go see a concert and then, you know, see what's happening in Austin. Go see Kill Tony maybe and whatever else is going on. There's probably some open mics I can get in on. But anyway, this weekend, didn't get to go, but they were offering kind of a pay-per-view thing. It wasn't streaming the whole festival, which, again, that would have been cool. It was through some website called Moment House, I think. Apparently, I was looking at it. They do concerts and stuff, which, you know, I've seen a few live stream concerts over COVID, and I kind of enjoy it. You know, I'm not a tall man. Shout out to Angus Scrim, rest in peace. I really like going to concerts, but I also really hate going to concerts. Not a tall man, so being able to see is a problem. No matter where I'm standing, a taller person than me inevitably stands directly in front of me, which, you know, not a lovely concert going experience to be staring at somebody's back the whole time. And everybody just annoys me. Everybody's got their phones out and filming it. I don't know if I don't know what's being done with that footage. I hate it. I hate it. Stop filming concerts. Nobody cares. I don't know if it's just for an Instagram live or something. Like, hey, I'm here. Like, I don't know. I feel like an old man, but just enjoy the show. And it just sucks for everybody. You know, and everybody's annoying and sweaty and bumping into everything. And, you know, it's going to the bathroom and getting in and out of there is annoying. And I'm old, so, like, my legs and my back are just killing me if I have to stand up for more than 30 minutes at a time. So these days, if I'm going to a concert, I'm definitely would prefer seats to standing room only. That's not always an option depending on how big of a band you're going to see. So yeah, I've seen a few over COVID. My favorite band, Clutch, did a few live from the Doom Saloons that were pay-per-view thing. They did a couple of, you know, tests ahead of time where they just did some free stuff where they played a few songs just to work out the bugs so that when it came time to do a pay-per-view thing, everything was working correctly, which was not the case with everything that I saw. What else did I watch? I watched, I bought a pay-per-view of, like, Guar doing the 20th anniversary of Scum Dogs of the Universe, and they played the whole album not in the correct order, and it was very obviously pre-recorded. It was kind of a little bit too polished and different camera angles and stuff, and also it screwed up about 5 minutes in and they just started it over again exactly the same. So it takes away a bit of the magic knowing it's not actually live. And I'm not thrilled with Guar these days anymore. I'm very disappointed. I did an episode when the new album with the new singer came out a few years ago with Travis Boyce, I believe. Maybe. I was trying to, like, no, it's cool. Dave Brocky's dead, but Guar will live on. It's just a cheesy merch company now. It sucks. Not happy with Guar. I think I watched a Melvins. That wasn't a live stream. That was a pre-recorded thing, and it was kind of short, and it was okay. I watched, like, a Phil Anselmo in the Illegals concert. Phil Anselmo, former singer of Pantera. But for a comedy thing, this isn't the same as, like, a Zoom show, which is rough. I don't know. I never want to watch or participate in a Zoom comedy show for the rest of my life. I don't care if I don't know. Whatever the pandemic is not worth it. You know, streaming a show that has an audience, not so bad. So Skankfest was doing a pay-per-view thing. They had 9 shows over Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So I took Friday off so that so that I could watch those. They started in the afternoon. They did a live Legion of Skanks episode, a part of the problem. What else did they do? They did Big J. Okerson's show. What is it called? I forget what the acronym is. I'd have to write it down. It's short for What's Your Fucking Deal. That is the name of the show. It's a crowd work show. Big J is the host, and there's a rotating roster of like a comedian that's out in the audience to banter back and forth with the person on stage and find audience members and like stick a microphone in their face. There was a couple of seasons of it that were on CISO, I believe, which no longer exists, but if you look hard enough, you can find the episodes on the internet. So that was fun. What else did we see? They had, Skank Fire, which was, basically the bonfire plus Louis J. Gomez. Legion of Skanks and the bonfire, I don't know, the live podcasts that I watched were kind of phoning it in. Part of the problem, I enjoyed seeing Dave Smith do like 10 minutes of comedy, which, you know, haven't seen him anything since like 2 years ago. So anyway, that was interesting. And a few other people did stand up. One of the guys on that show, I think Sam Tripoli is his name. Annoying as all heck. He's a little too conspiratorial for me. And anyway, that wasn't great. What else? There was a Kill Tony episode of Tony Hinchcliffe that was fun. They had a roast battle that was not great. I never heard of any of the people that were involved in it other than the judges, and it was kind of mediocre. And then there was a roast of Louis J. Gomez at the end with some heavy hitters. That was fun, but it was still a lot. It was, and there was two Ellis Mania things. It was basically some mixture of silly kind of gimmicky boxing matches with some pros, some amateur people, some audience members. I don't like watching you know, the face punching sports in general, and that it was kind of an amateurish and kind of a not very polished production certainly didn't help, so I could have done without those. But overall, it was fun. You know, you're missing out on kind of being part of the festival. I got to see, you know, everybody posting their pictures and videos over Instagram and stuff, but, I don't know. It's exhausting watching, and I mean, watching it at home on my couch, access to all of the amenities of my house and having, I mean, when I went to the festival, even though stuff was going on from like 12 to 12, you could come and go as you please. Nothing was forcing you to be there, but you know, there's so much good stuff going, you kind of had to. But anyway, I was mainly disappointed that there wasn't a lot of straight stand-up sets that I would have enjoyed seeing, because that was my favorite part of Skankfest, just seeing all of my favorite comedians all in the same place on the same weekend. The podcasts were okay. Honestly, they felt a little bit phoned in. And, you know, the crowd work thing and Kill Tony, those are kind of novelty things. They're not like in the roast. They're not really like a straight stand-up set, which I was a little bit disappointed. But anyway, watched a lot of stuff over this weekend, and I'm a little bit tired. I don't know if that's why, but anyway, I'm still not sure how I feel about this live streaming of comedy. It was okay, but it wasn't really his stand-up sets. I mean, I enjoy watching comedy specials, so in theory, it could be a cool thing. I definitely, something is missing. I have enjoyed watching various concerts over the pandemic, but anyway, I don't know where I'm going with this. I think it's time for a break. Here's a fun thing. Last week, former favorite band of mine, and I'm not proud of that, Limp Bizkit released an album. It's called Limp Bizkit Still Sucks, which is pretty funny. I mean, this is It's interesting. It's divisive. This isn't for everybody, but again, this was my favorite band in high school. I didn't really listen to much past the first three albums. There was some other stuff that was put out, but you know, somebody jokingly sent me a YouTube link of their recent performance at Lollapalooza this past summer, I believe, and I watched the whole set and enjoyed the heck out of it. Their new song that they put out called Dad Vibes is fun. I enjoy it. And the album as a whole, I think it's only like 32 minutes long, which is nice. There are many songs on it. Most of them are less than 3 minutes long. There's some good songs on there. There's also some real stinkers. Now, I don't want to put Fred Durst and Eminem in the same category as rappers. Not even close. But the thing that they have in common that I hate is whenever they try to sincerely sing, they need to stop. I mean, Eminem is a million times better as a rapper than Fred Durst is. Eminem is also a much worse singer than Fred Durst, but Fred Durst is not a good singer. He's not even a good rapper either, but he's, I don't know. I enjoy him better when he's rapping. I batted around the idea, like, it's so weird. I listened to this album a few days ago. I think I listened to it on Thursday while I was making supper and doing the dishes. And I was enjoying it. I kind of was tempted to immediately do a live stream listen along. I wanted to listen to it again. Not because it was so amazing, but it's better than it should be. And I mean, I don't feel guilty, so I wouldn't call it a guilty pleasure, but it's fun. So is that something that anybody wants to see? I don't think I could do it over you know, CanCon rules. So, and I don't know if I could get the whole, the album is 32 minutes long. I don't know if I'm, you know, commenting in between tracks, if that might blow past an hour. But anyway, maybe I'll do that from home. If that's something that you want to see, hit me up. If you want to participate as a guest, hit me up. So anyway, there's some good songs on it. A lot of them are kind of all over the place. They're trying different sounds. The song I'm going to play, which I enjoy, is called Turn It Up, Bitch. Such a Limp Bizkit title. Definitely trying to be a Cypress Hill knockoff, but still solid. And I haven't listened to it since it came out, but even though this song is Limp Bizkit trying to sound like Cypress Hill, this song is still better than every song on the Prophets of Rage album. I'm going to come right out and say that. So anyway, without further ado, Turn It Up, Bitch.
A new metal from the trash, hell yeah.
Everybody needs some hardcore fucked up bang your head shit, so turn it up, bitch. Everybody needs some hardcore fucked up bang your head shit, so turn it up, bitch.
Turn it up.
Everybody needs some hardcore fucked up
We're back on St. John Forward Radio. That was some Limp Bizkit for you. No apologies from me. Off the new album, Limp Bizkit still sucks. And they do, but I don't know. I enjoyed it more than I wanted to. And, you know, there's some closet Limp Bizkit fans out there. So don't be ashamed. Loud and proud. Live your truth. Again, if you would like to see John Forward do a full album, listen along and break down between tracks, hit me up. Hit it in the comments. Send me a message on Facebook. Send me a message through johnforward.com. Who knows? Call local FM and demand it. Maybe not. So speaking of which, you're listening to St. John Forward Radio on local 107.3 FM, which is a weird thing to do in the middle of a podcast if you're listening to it in that format, but we're live on the radio. There are people just flipping through the channels and they heard some hot Limp Bizkit and they want to know who is playing Limp Bizkit on the radio in 2021. And the answer, St. John Forward Radio. Oh, wait a second. We've got a message. I don't know if this is to do with the Limp Bizkit, but we've got a communication from dear wife May, and pictures of May with the cat. They're pretty good pictures. I can't get them up on the screen necessarily. So anyway, as discussed on this show, I am a low-level amateur comedian. It's something I have fun doing. Again, this, you're like, this show's not funny, which you're right. Hopefully occasionally it is, but I don't even know what I'm doing. I'm just rambling here. Funnier podcast that I'm on, Four Story Walk Up, check that out. But, I've actually got some stuff coming up that I'm kind of excited about. I've been mostly doing shows around St. John for the last, little while. There was, you know, since COVID, I think the only shows that I've done outside of St. John were, I did a show in Woodstock like a year ago in November, at a pool hall. That was, I got paid, but that was rough. They seem to have liked it. Hey, Woodstock, if you want to have me back, make it happen. What else? I did a show up in Campbellton a while ago, which was fun, but that's a long drive. What else? I think that might be it. So, I've got a show coming up this Wednesday, November 10th at Maybe's. That's what it's called. In Fredericton. I don't even remember the last, last time I did a show in Fredericton was probably like March 2020, right before everything shut down. I remember, like, in the middle of March 2020, I did back-to-back shows. I did one on like a Tuesday night at the Abbey, like the vegan restaurant and cafe in Fredericton, and then like the next Wednesday, I think I did Hell's Basement for the last time. They told me how much, hey, we're happy to have you here. And they have not called me back since. Doing the show in Fredericton, I think I've done this venue before. I think Anthony Wade was possibly running it. But, you know, he got caught making fun of somebody's mentally challenged daughter in the comments on Facebook somewhere. And so anyway, he's been canceled. I don't know how I feel about that. It's definitely not a cool thing to do. Doesn't have anything to do with comedy. Anyway, let's not get into that. But anyway, I've got that show coming up on Wednesday. This is going to be a new regular thing. I think there's also a show on November 24th. I'm not on that, but if you're in Fredericton, check it out. If it's the same place I'm thinking of, they had a great audience when I was there last time. There was like one toilet for the entire room full of people, and it was kind of hard to get in there and squeeze out a quick pee before my set when there's a line of 17 people in front of me, including a couple of dogs, I think. So that I'm looking forward to. I've also got a show in Moncton next week. When's that? I think that's on the 18th. I don't know what day of the week that is. I'm doing that show at, I already forgot what it was. It's called Canvas, which I think it's in the Hilton Hotel. That's been running for a couple of weeks. That's a bit dicey. Takes place in a hotel lobby, I'm told. It's not a clean show, but it's also, just not too rough show, which is vague and dicey. But anyway, I'm going to give it a go. I've got a fun bit that I'm working on that, you know, does contain a Hitler joke. But, you know, I'm repeating it from when somebody else said it. That's the Hitler part of the joke is not really the punchline. Anyway, it's the context. It's the story. So anyway, I've gotten permission to tell that joke. So anyway, we'll see how it goes. I'm most looking forward to it just because as much as I enjoy performing in front of St. John audiences, I've said it before, it applies to everybody else as much as it is for me. I don't feel like I'm as good at doing comedy as I could be if I spread my wings out a little bit more. So I feel like having to go out and do shows for other audiences that are not the usual audiences that I perform in front of. That's a good way to become a better comedian. And also it's fun because when I do stuff in St. John, unless I'm doing, it's hard to have a good, like a really, really good set in St. John because unless it's a brand new bit, chances are a good chunk of the room has already heard me tell the same joke or some version of it. I mean, when I repeat myself, I try to space it out on the same show. Sometimes I'll do it at No Jokes Barred, and then I'll do the same thing at the Five and Dime, and then the Port City Laughs. Because there's different audiences there, except for the comedians. So, unless it's new, there's some overlap in audience. So it's hard to work on material in St. John because even if I fix it up and rearrange stuff and add a new line here and change the wording of this and put that before this thing and put that in the middle and then end with this part because that's the biggest laugh, people have heard some version of it. So it's the surprise element is not as strong as it would be otherwise. The other thing, if I am doing new material, that's got the surprise element, but it's also been less worked on. It hasn't had the benefit of going through the process of me listening back to like a recording of it and figuring out, okay, this part got a good laugh and this part got crickets and this part, they looked confused. So it's kind of a rough thing where I'm either doing brand new, surprising but unpolished material, or slightly more polished but also slightly more boring because people have already heard it material. So looking forward to doing my first sets in Fredericton and Moncton since before the world ended. So I'm looking forward to that. Also looking forward to doing some shows with different comedians than you. You know, there's a lot of people that very rarely make their way down to St. John these days. There's some comedians that they stick to their own, and that has the same consequences that I described as far as the quality of their performances. But you know, it's this whole pandemic thing has been really weird. I don't know. I'm sure it's also a factor for non-comedians, but I don't know. It's just been weird, the dynamic between the different comedians. I feel like things have gotten a lot more divided and grouped up, which, you know, was already happening before COVID. I mean, I'm remembering with rose-colored glasses the early days of me doing comedy in New Brunswick, where there was like three shows that you could get on, so everybody in the province would jump on it, and yeah, you would be doing shows with everybody whenever you could, constantly. But now everybody's kind of siloed into their own little groups. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And also, just with the way that the world is, and you know, I'm always running my mouth on here and posting stuff on Facebook. You know, part of me likes to, you know, be a contrarian, and, you know, I like to tell it how it is, speaking truth to power, that's my deal. But there's also some level of, do I need to worry about this person seeing this and making assumptions about the kind of person that I am because I've got a particular opinion? I mean, my opinions on things haven't really changed significantly over the past many years. I've been constantly like reading new books and listening to podcasts and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, my politics, I guess, has gotten more kind of laser focused, and I'm more confident in my beliefs than I used to be, just because I know more about it, and I've kind of got the answers to like kind of the basic dumb questions that you get. Like it used to, like the lowest level, like when somebody asks like the low level, like, but who will build the roads, as like, in libertarian circles, that's such like a basic B-word question that everybody rolls their eyes at. That's kind of like the joke question. But there are some people that genuinely are like, but who? There's no possible way that anybody other than a government could build a road. How does that even work? So, again, that's like the bottom level. You've never even heard of libertarianism or anarchism or whatever. So, but again, all of the stuff that kind of my politics kind of was skeptical of, and a lot of the predictions that are made by certain philosophies that I fall into has come to bear during the whole COVID time. Not specifically, like, you didn't, I'm not going to say like 5 years ago there was going to be a pandemic and they were going to use it for all these nefarious purposes. No, I am pretty woke, if you will, to the nefarious purposes and the problem with incentives and, you know, government in general and, you know, people in charge and stuff. But yeah, I feel like before COVID, you could still kind of have conversation with a person, even if you disagreed. They didn't automatically think that you were a bad person because you disagreed with them on something. There have been exceptions. It's less so in Canada, I guess, but I feel like that really ramped up like in 2016 when Trump was elected president. That spills over into Canada a little bit. I mean, it's less likely because you're not really, I've never been accused of being a Trump supporter by another Canadian, because like, how would I support Trump even if I wanted to? I mean, I think he's hilarious. I don't want him in charge of anything, but I mean, he's no worse than anybody else. But anyway, amongst comedy, there's been this battle brewing, particularly over the past couple of years, which, you know, with the identity politics and such. I mean, if you bristle at even the mention of the term identity politics, I'm probably talking about you. It's a thing that describes something that's, I mean, anyway. It's become within comedy over the past 2 years, especially, has been kind of, if you have this opinion, then you are an evil bad person. If you tell jokes about this topic, you are an evil bad person. That's the perception. And some people mean that. Some people don't. And there's probably the vast majority of people that are somewhere in the middle where they don't care. But I don't know. It's weird because, you know, over the past couple of years, there's been a couple of, you know, backstabs and stuff like that amongst people that I thought that I was friends with. It's always, whenever something like that happens, when you find out that, you know, somebody that you thought you were friends with is saying something about you behind your back, or you find out that they had lied to you about something, it throws you off a little bit, and it kind of makes you paranoid. So, you know, when I find out about, you know, somebody said something, or somebody did this, or when somebody just stops doing my show, or they stop letting me do their show or something, you know, it's hard not to get a little bit butthurt about it. And when it only takes a couple of people that you find out that I'm not being completely paranoid and there is some truth to it. So all it takes is, you know, I find out that this person and that person, you know, said something or did something, and it just throws the whole thing into flux. So there's so many people that I don't even deal with that I have no idea what they think. And, like, I shouldn't care, but I don't know. I feel like we should all be on, like, team comedy. And, I don't know. It feels much less like a team, so, anyway. And that's easier to get into this. I mean, you see me posting something on Facebook or even blathering on about some nonsense on this show. You might form some opinions about me, but it's a different thing when we're all doing a show together. You know, and you either get a laugh or you don't, and it's kind of the audience, even if you're doing, and again, it really, not always. There's been a few times over the past couple of years where, you know, I've done some material that bristles against certain people, but it's done well for the audience. It's also bombed sometimes too. I'm not going to pretend like I never have a bad set, but it used to be if somebody had a really good set, it was really hard to be upset about the content of it. But now it's like, oh, like you could have one person doing like no material and getting huge laughs from the audience, and somebody else doing like, I don't know, like the correct opinions approach to comedy, and the audience isn't even into it. And for some reason, the person who bombed saying the things that they're supposed to say seems to have this feeling that they, you know, the audience didn't like me as much as they liked this other person, but, you know, I'm on the right side of history or something, which, okay. So anyway, it just, being isolated from whole swaths of the comedy community, it makes me paranoid about who's mad at me or whatever. And it also, you know, when I see other people posting stuff on Facebook, I try not to, but if somebody is constantly, like, generally I'll just unfollow somebody. If it gets extreme and unfollowing is not good enough and you keep seeing their dumb comments on other things, sometimes you need to block them. That's a small list, but there's a few. So, you know, I make opinions about people that post dumb stuff on Facebook too. But I don't know. I feel like on some level that all kind of washes away when you're in the same person with somebody and we're all just kind of, it's us versus the audience out there, and you either get a laugh or you don't. I feel like that's a good team building exercise. So I'm looking forward to doing some shows out of town with some people that I don't regularly get to do shows with as often anymore, so that'll be nice. I've also decided I've got some vacation days to burn up before the end of the year, because I can only carry over 5 days, I think. So I've got another week vacation that I am being forced to take. So the first week of December, I'm going to take some time off, and I'm going to head down to Halifax for a few days and get on some shows down there, because Halifax is a whole other thing, because there's only a handful of people that I talk to with any regularity. So that's, and I think Halifax is, an extra level of politically correct. And anyway, I don't know. I've got opinions on some people down there, and I'm sure they've got opinions of me, but I feel like if we're all in a room together, talking into the same microphone to the same audience, that might bring us together a little bit. But anyway, I'm running out of steam on that topic, so let's get back to music. Let's put her on shuffle and see what's coming up next. What do we got? Spotify.
When you leave this
Jesus Christ Supertramp by Rob Sonic.
Poor little criminal, timid stockade. Rib visit is in full digital age. Simple Simon Diamond or climb calling case. You do not pay your taxes, put you back on your base. Kings in the cake, many ate the poor grind. Like dead feather baked in a lake of poor wine. Fold what you told, hold your golden horse hide. For when the levee breaks and your makeup war cries. I walk the line with my socks full of filth. The tilt-a-whirl woozy bluesy box full of films. The jog with my memoirs to the top of the hill, and knows what don't kill me means the oxygen will. Flash bring the pills, watch the leaders drive by with temporary tags and a bag full of bribes. Tribes with the tear are in earshots alive. Learn to read the meter and succeed a cyanide. Peter pipe pie, so we rolled on a beast and made them cut us into what they sold on the streets. Every hat, every glove, every scarf, every fleece. Now we've incorporated and get paid off disease, cause
cutting edge, cause
Welcome back to St. John Forward Radio, a little Rob Sonic. We've got about 5 minutes left in the show, and I don't know what else to talk about, so I'm going to play this clip that I've had in the queue for several weeks. I don't even remember what it's about. This is a speech I saw on Twitter. This is some politician named Christine Anderson in the the EU Parliament. I think she's from Germany or something. Hopefully not a Nazi. But anyway, I don't know how long this is, but it was a speech that I enjoyed. And is an important thing for these times. Let's play that, and hopefully I don't get cut off.
But it is not the goal that renders a system oppressive. It is always the methods by which the goal is pursued. Whenever a government claims to have the people's interest at heart, you need to think again. In the entire history of mankind, there has never been a political elite sincerely concerned about the well-being of regular people. What makes any of us think that it is different now? If the Age of Enlightenment has brought forth anything, then certainly this. Never take anything any government tells you at face value. Always question everything any government does or does not do. Always look for ulterior motives and always ask, cui bono, who benefits? Whenever a political elite pushes an agenda this hard and resorts to extortion and manipulation to get their way, you can almost always be sure your benefit is definitely not what they had at heart. As far as I'm concerned, I will not be vaccinated with anything that has not been properly vetted and tested and has shown no sound scientific evidence that the benefits outweigh the disease itself and possible long-term side effects, which to this day we don't know anything about. I will not be reduced to a mere guinea pig by getting vaccinated with an experimental drug. And I will most assuredly not get vaccinated because my government tells me to and promises in return I will be granted freedom. Let's be clear about one thing. No one grants me freedom, for I am a free person. So I dare the European Commission and the German government. Throw me in jail, lock me up, and throw away the key for all I care. But you will never be able to coerce me into being vaccinated if I, the free citizen that I am, choose not to be vaccinated.
Anyway, I did like that. The specifically vaccine stuff I'm not 100% on board with. Again, I chose to get mine. The whole experimental and the risks outweighing the benefits, I don't know, but I am against mandating or forcing or coercing anybody into it. And even if it's not technically mandatory, if it's okay, it's not mandatory, but we're going to make your life insanely inconvenient, to put it mildly, that's not cool. But anyway, I like the spirit of questioning government and their intentions and all that stuff. Seems odd coming from a politician. When I first I planned on talking about that a couple of weeks ago, I put it up. I did a quick like Google search of the lady. She's got a very minimal Wikipedia presence, so just wanted to make sure that this wasn't like some obvious crazy person. But anyway, I don't agree with everything that she said about the vaccine, but I do agree that it's her choice whether or not she's going to take it, and I'm on board with questioning all of the authority stuff. Anyway, that's the show, St. John Forward Radio, every Monday night at 9 o'clock till 10 o'clock on local FM and streaming on video on YouTube, audio at johnforward.podbean.com on Wednesday. Good night. Thank you.